So welcome to the podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today we're going to be talking about point-of-care ultrasound. This is something we've touched on in the podcast in the past. We've talked with Kelvin Ward, who has a very good website on urgent care ultrasound. We've had also discussions at the college level, and we've had presentations at our boot camp on it. And it is something that is evolving in the urgent care world, but is still in its early stages. And somewhere that POCUS is used a lot more, but in a fairly analogous way to urgent care, is in the emergency department. So today we're going to have a chat to somebody who actively uses point of care ultrasound in urgent care and in the emergency department. And that's our old friend, Dr. Avijit Barai, who is a dual fellow of the Australasian College of Emergency Medicine and the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. Welcome back, Avijit. Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
So I think you've mentioned in some of your previous talks with us about how you've used POCUS. I remember talking about the sternoclavicular joint dislocation case that you had. You were able to use it in that context, and you've used it in some cardiac contexts before. And I know that you're a big advocate for it, and you've gone through the training. So let's just start at the beginning, just in case people aren't familiar with it. Can you tell me what POCUS is and how it differs to some of the other phrases that you hear people talking about, the formal radiography driven ultrasound or bedside ultrasound and these sorts of things? Could you just talk about what it is?
Yeah, thanks. So point of care ultrasound, as the name implies, basically it's an ultrasound that is done at the point of care. So for example, if the patient comes to the urgent care and you just want to see if the patient is pregnant or not, or the patient has got gallstone or not. So yes or no, that is the answer we are trying to get. That is the point of care ultrasound. If we do have more quantification in a formal way, that is the bedside ultrasound. Now, these are two different terms. Sometimes they can be a bit confused. So bedside ultrasound is basically a portable machine that we use to get a pretty much comprehensive examination. Now, these are the patients who need to be prepared. For example, if you want to look at the gallbladder, then patient need to be empty stomach. So patient need to be fasting. If there is an air in the stomach, you might not get a very good view. So that is a big difference between the point of care ultrasound, which is done in a very rapid way, in a patient who is not prepared, and we try to find out some yes or no questions, rather than a comprehensive examination, which is the bedside ultrasound, or we sometimes call the formal ultrasound. So that is the basic difference. They can be sometimes interchangeably used, but as we are getting more familiar with this terminology, we more commonly use the point of care ultrasound or POCUS rather than bedside ultrasound or comprehensive ultrasound. And I think that is very applicable for urgent care, because patients are just rushing into the urgent care center and we just want to see whether the patient has got certain things. Is there any fracture? Is there any gallstone? Is there any AAA? Is there any free fluid in the abdomen? Is there any foreign body in the fingers? So these sort of things, that is the POCUS.
And I think that's one of the reasons some people might be reticent about getting involved with point of care ultrasound, is because the training that radiologists and ultrasonographers go through to do those more expansive and definitive scans, it seems a long way for us to be doing those things. But actually, POCUS training and POCUS experience is a kind of a gradual thing that people get into and increase their experience over time. So can you tell me how you got into point of care ultrasound, how you started, and the sort of the journey you've gone on up to this point?
So I've been doing ultrasound for 12, 13 years now. So I started when I was in the UK, did some courses, and we don't have any ultrasound in the emergency department at that point. So I used to steal the machine from the radiology, especially at night, and do the ultrasound scan myself. But the formal training I had when I moved to New Zealand. So at first I did the postgraduate certificate in clinician perform ultrasound from the University of Otago, which is a one-year program. And this is really good, comprehensive course. It has got a formal two papers. One is echocardiography. The other one is the other ultrasound scan. I did a CCPU. I've got from the Australasian Society of Ultrasound in Medicine. I have got total, I think, about 11 modules of CCPU.
Can you just say, what does the CCPU stand for?
So CCPU stands for the Certificate of Clinician Performed Ultrasound. So this is basically point of care ultrasound. That is a formal accreditation from the Australasian Society of Ultrasound in Medicine. And they have got different modules. For example, you can get the training and the accreditation for the AAA. You can do it for soft tissues, like for example, fractures, foreign bodies. You can do it for fast scan, pregnancy, early pregnancy. You can do hepatobiliary system, gallstone, for example, kidney, urinary bladder. So there are different types of modules. The good thing with that is you can have a really very good focused training and very focused assessment. So for example, if you do the fast scan, which is a very common module that we do, you can do these different levels or different views that we are doing in case of the fast scan. And you will be quite oriented with what you are doing. And because this is a continuous learning process, this is not the one-off certification. So you get the qualification, and every 5 years you need to do recertification. And during this process, you need to practice on it. If you don't practice it, you will forget it, and the skills will get rusty, which is not desirable.
So it's fair to say that you've been doing this obviously for a number of years now, and you've built year on year your skill set by doing more and more courses and more training, and using this kind of modular system that the ASUM put on. You're constantly kind of relearning and reaccrediting in ultrasound or point of care ultrasound the more you use it. So it's kind of an ongoing journey that you start on and build your knowledge and constantly keep building on that going forwards. You've alluded there to there being different modules. So it is possible that there are things that you maybe don't do with POCUS yet. Are there some areas that you haven't gone into, or that you left later in time, and you started maybe with just focusing on the fast scan to start with? And so what's been your sort of portfolio of skills that you've built up?
So the fast scan, that is very common module that I personally do, and most of the doctors in emergency medicine do. The area that I am currently focusing on is the bedside echocardiography. We call this focused cardiac ultrasound. So this is the module that shows us, basically it's an echocardiogram, but we don't do much of those quantification that is done in a formal echocardiogram. I think that makes a huge difference in the patient management from my personal experience. There is not a single patient that I have seen who refused to do the cardiac ultrasound or to see their own heart. And every time I show the clips, they get so fascinated to see their heart, that the heart is beating. And if I put some color Doppler to show them that what valves they have got a problem, like the mitral regurgitation or aortic stenosis, that makes a huge difference. And I am actually going through some training in bedside echocardiography. And I feel that over the next few months or few years, Once I get more trained, that is the area which I will get more trained, and it will be helpful for the patient as well.
So it's a constantly building process, and you start somewhere, and then you choose which areas you want to maybe more interested in. And you, is it important to know the barriers or the limitations rather that each particular module might have, particularly in the context of ED or urgent care? Is it very clear when you've reached your limit and when you actually have to default to the way we used to work before you had access to a point of care ultrasound?
Yes, definitely. I mean, this ultrasound is relatively safe. I mean, it's much safer than the X-ray or CT scan, but it has got some limitations that we need to be aware of. And the main limitation is the operator dependence. So as we get more experienced, we get more familiar with the different types of findings, and also to keep ourselves trained, keep ourselves ongoing training and credentialing process. Now, with regards to the limitation, I would say the main limitation is we need to think about the operator dependence and the resources. One of the things, as we have mentioned, that this is a machine that we are using, and different machines have got different types of settings, what we call nobology. We need to get familiar with the nobology. We need to make sure that the images are stored so that somebody can review. And also it is a good practice to get the images reviewed by a more experienced clinician, such as a sonographer or echocardiographer or radiologist if possible. That gives some feedback, and that is a great learning tool. The management of the machine, that is also important. Sometimes I see that the ultrasound machine that is kept in a very dirty way. There may be blood on it, there may be some other body fluids, which it looks bad, but also it can be a potential source for transmission of organisms. And that can cause a lot of harm to the other patients. So we need to keep in mind that we need to keep an open mind about how to look after the machines, because we are using the same machine to different patients. If I perform the point of care ultrasound for any invasive process like some injection, aspiration, I always put a sterile probe cover on it. So that I can make sure that the infection is not transmitted or other bugs are not transmitted. The limitations can be addressed by more training. So as we are familiar with the how to look after the machine and how to make sure that the safety is maintained, as we get more familiar and more trained and we build up our knowledge, that helps us to address that particular issue. With regards to the training, again, this is something that needs to be done in a very structured way by some of the accredited faculty. For example, the Australian Society of Ultrasound in Medicine, they have got the CCPU modules, so you can get trained in those modules, and that can help you in recovering the limitations that someone might have. Maintaining regular logbook and attending the regular courses, that can help as well. And as you have mentioned, and I agree with that completely, that point of care ultrasound, this is a lifelong learning process. It's not like getting a qualification makes someone expert until unless they practice it regularly. And this is a practice that helps us in getting the best out of it.
Yeah, and it's certainly something that I know a lot of people are interested in, but it does feel like taking a step off the bridge on the bungee jump. It kind of, you people feel a bit anxious about making that first step. And one of the things I find inspires people to consider POCUS is when they hear about cases in which it made a profound difference in the management of that patient. So it enabled you to make a diagnosis and affect patient care in a very quick and simple way. So I'd be interested to know if you have any good examples where it really has impacted the way that you treated somebody and made a difference in their patient journey.
Absolutely. So I've got lots of experience, and I have actually wrote a couple of case reports which are published. So for example, there was a lady who came with some upper abdominal pain. And this is during the COVID time when no relative was allowed to come with the patient. So when my registrar saw the patient, I did the ultrasound, and straight away I found that this patient had it looks like a perforated gallbladder or gangrenous gallbladder. So the gallbladder was, there was a stone, and the gallbladder wall was thick. There was pericholecystic fluid, and the patient looked like quite dehydrated when I did the echocardiogram, and the left ventricle was hyperdynamic. So I instructed my registrar to give the fluid antibiotic and admit under the surgeons. So she went to the theater, and she has got this perforated gangrenous gallbladder. So that made a huge difference to the patient, because within 10 minutes after the patient came, I did the ultrasound, and I made the management within 5 minutes, and I told my registrar what to do. If I did not have done the ultrasound, that patient would have been there for many hours before taking a decision. So I found it really interesting, and I told my registrar, and she was very, very enthusiastic about ultrasound as well. That how quickly we could diagnose it and we could make some decision about the management. So I wrote a case report on this particular case. I can tell you another case. So there is this patient came with hands pain in the hand seen by one of the nurse specialists. So she did some x-rays, and we found that there is a Boxer's fracture. So then I showed her how to manage this patient. So I did the ulnar nerve block with ultrasound. And during the manipulation of the Boxer's fracture, which was quite volar angulated, I did the ultrasound and I showed her this is the fracture. And during the manipulation, I used the ultrasound just like a C-arm x-ray. So I don't need the x-ray to see if the fracture is relocated or not, or manipulated or not. I can just do it ultrasound. And I did this several times. There was this child coming with pain in the wrist after a fall, and they don't have the x-ray straight away. So we need to call the radiographer, who will come later and do the x-ray. But I did the ultrasound, and I showed them there is a fracture. And during the manipulation also, I did the ultrasound to make sure that the fracture is in acceptable position. So even before doing the x-ray with exposure of the child to radiation, I could diagnose it, and I could treat it. On several occasions, I have seen patients with the foreign body in the hand or in the foot, and I could pick it up with ultrasound. I use some special technique. I don't think many people use that I put the hand in a bowl of water, and instead of gel, I use that water in the bowl to visualize the hand or fingers. And that gives a very high resolution picture. It's better than MRI scan. And you can see the tendons, you can see the ligaments, you can see if there is any foreign body or fracture. It's beautiful. And as I've said, that currently I am working on the focused cardiac ultrasound or echocardiogram. And I have done so many of them. Every time I showed the patient their scan, they get happy. I mean, it makes a big satisfaction to the patient, and it enhances the communication with the patient. With regards to the management, I have seen one patient coming with shortness of breath in the ED, and the patient did not have an IV line, was kept in a side room, no monitor. So I did this ultrasound, and it shows that she has got a big pericardial effusion with cardiac tamponade. So I spoke to the nursing staff, transferred the patient to another cubicle, put the patient to monitor, did the ECG, IV access was obtained by one of my colleagues. And we admitted under cardiology because the patient has got cardiac tamponade that needs pericardiosynthesis. She had pericardiosynthesis. So on the same day. So yeah, I have got hundreds of examples. I just haphazardly told you a few examples which I thought that they are very interesting, and they made a huge difference. I cannot remember a single case where the ultrasound actually was not useful. And I use this almost like a stethoscope.
It's interesting you alluded to it there, that patients feel like they've had better care or that they've had a more thorough examination. And I've seen references a lot to this. A lot of point of care ultrasound users will say this anecdotally, at least, that patients say, thank you for being so thorough, or thank you for taking the extra time. And they really enjoy it. And the analogy when we talked earlier was that some people feel that a clinical exam doesn't reassure them as much, that they haven't broken their ankle until they've seen the x-ray. And we're all familiar with those people who will be limping on their ankle until they get their x-ray, and then will walk out convinced now they've seen their ankle x-ray, they're not broken, even though you told them clinically that you were pretty sure it wasn't broken. And so I see that same analogy, but on a much broader scale with the point of care ultrasound, that it can reassure people and they feel happy. So the next step from that is, does it make you happier as a clinician? Do you go home at the end of the night less worried, less concerned about missing things? Does it make you a more competent, comfortable practitioner?
Absolutely, absolutely. So as I said, that I use a point of care ultrasound almost like a stethoscope. And if I don't do the point of care ultrasound, I feel that the examination is not complete. I feel like incomplete examination. So if I do the point of care ultrasound, I can visually see exactly what is going on. And I can also see if the patient is responding to the treatment. And it makes me happier. And also it makes my decision-making more thorough. And I can justify my action by doing the point of care ultrasound that I probably would not have been able to if I have not done the point of care ultrasound. So it's very true in case of emergency department, because most of the emergency department that I worked so far has got ultrasound machines. But in urgent care, I'm not sure how many of them have it, but if they have it, I'm pretty sure they will feel more confident. And I'm pretty sure that the point of care ultrasound will make a huge positive impact to the patient care and better patient satisfaction.
And I guess just almost a devil's advocate question here is, does it de-skill you in any other way? So for example, does it replace your clinical acumen if you're jumping to POCUS, or do you still go through the whole clinical examination as you would normally do and then add POCUS at the end, so you're still maintaining skills of palpating for abdominal pathology or whatever it is you're looking for? And is it important to make sure you maintain those skills, or is POCUS just going to naturally replace these things going forwards in the future of medicine? What are your thoughts on that kind of dichotomy there?
Honestly speaking, POCUS is an adjunct, not a replacement to the classical assessment of the patient. So when I say assessment, I mean take the history, do the physical examination, do the usual investigation, and the point of care ultrasound is just an adjunct to this whole assessment process. Without taking the history, without doing the full physical examination, there is no point of doing the point of care ultrasound, because as I mentioned in the very first sentence, that point of care ultrasound is giving us just a yes or no question answer. It's a dichotomous question. Does the patient has got, is the patient fluid overloaded? Is the patient dehydrated? That you can get from POCUS, but how we are going to use it in clinical practice will be based on what is the history, what is the physical examination finding, and if we have done other investigations. So yes, I am in my opinion, in my opinion, point of care ultrasound is not going to replace the classic assessment, history taking and physical examination. It's going to add on the assessment. So basically it's an adjunct to the usual clinical assessment rather than a replacement of it.
And when you say adding, that leads me to my next question. How much do you find it adds from a time point of view to a consultation? Is it viewed as are people maybe reticent about getting involved because they see it as a big time constraint, not just obviously the learning and the training in it, but actually time spent with the patient? Does it increase consultation time and therefore reduce numbers of patients you see per hour and that kind of thing? So how does it add to your time burden?
Overall, I feel that the time is actually reduced. So when I was doing the training in early parts, I used to use the protocols, and so it took a lot of time. But point of care ultrasound is to just answer the yes or no question. So it is not a comprehensive exam. So it does not take half an hour. It takes probably 5 minutes. Now, if we consider the overall picture, so if we do the point of care ultrasound and if we can get some question answered, it may avoid the other investigations. So if we look at the bigger picture, actually the point of care ultrasound reduces the overall time. I was doing one study when I was in Christchurch, and we tried to find out exactly what is the time from the patient admitted to the ED and we have done the ultrasound, and what is the time for the decision making after the ultrasound. We are still getting some data analysis. So that is the main idea, to find out if the point of care ultrasound actually can affect the overall patient management. My anecdotal experience is that it actually decreases the overall time that we spent, because it avoids the other investigations and other unnecessary tests. So that is my experience.
Yeah, interesting. I guess the more experience you get with it, the more those things speed up. But that's the same with all medical training. And whatever it is that we do, we become better with time. And so the sooner you start on the journey of training in point of care ultrasound, the sooner you'll get the volume of patients and the experience and the knowledge and the muscle memory and everything that you need. So it is that this ongoing journey and constant learning that we should all be considering, because at least in your view, it's added to your emergency medicine and urgent care work by having that access. And you mentioned before urgent care clinics. Some do have machines. There are a number, but certainly they're not in all clinics yet. And I'm just interested to know, you've done this for a number of years now, but you've worked mainly in EDs that have access to these machines. Have you gone down the route of buying your own machine yet, like a Butterfly or one of those kind of personal devices that you can take with you, or have you just been using hospital-based equipment?
So far, I am using hospital-based equipment, but there is a lot of improvement in the technology. And I am actually getting some quotes for my personal ultrasound, especially the ones with the wireless device where there is no cord attached to it. And they use some artificial intelligence. There is some cloud storage. So basically the images or clips straight away are uploaded to the cloud. And then I can review it later. Also, I can share with others. So yes. One of the devices that I am looking for is, I think it's called Clarius, and that is pretty good. I have used a Butterfly, that's pretty good as well. But with the Butterfly, you need to connect it with a cord to a device like an iPad or something. I was thinking about buying one of those portable machine, but that is very difficult to carry from with me from place to place. But the one that I'm looking for, Clarius or Lumify, I think they have got the similar things that it is wireless. You can just put it in the pocket and you can just go from one cubicle to another as you are seeing, just like a stethoscope. And that is what I am looking for at this moment.
So maybe if we speak to you in the future, you can update us on whether you've taken the plunge and bought
Absolutely.
the machine. But it is true, isn't it, that the prices are coming down, and so people can actually invest in these as a personal device, like their own personal stethoscope or otoscope. And hopefully, the more people who do that, there'll be more systems around for people to have a go and to see the benefit that it can lead to patients, and people can then begin on their journey and find their way into POCUS. Because to summarize, essentially, you've spent the last 12 years or so learning and developing your skills, and you've found it's benefited your patient care, it's benefited your personal kind of enjoyment in the job, it's enhanced your kind of safety and your practice in that regard. And patients are obviously better cared, get referred sooner, get treatment sooner, and they're also happier because they feel you've taken that extra step to reassure them or to diagnose them. And in all of that, it doesn't add to the time that you spend with the patient. And if anything, you feel it reduces things. So does that kind of summarize your general feelings of POCUS?
Yes, so I think I completely agree with you what you have said. Just I'd like to add that this point-of-care ultrasound is not a very comprehensive training program. So with minimal training, one can be ready to go. So there may be some misinformation about the point-of-care ultrasound that it needs a lot of training. It needs very expensive machines. These are not true. The machine is the handheld machines. I think that is less than 10,000, and any clinician can purchase it. And the training is so minimum. But as I mentioned many times, that it helps in the diagnosis. It helps in the assessment. It helps in the management. It helps in the communication with the patient and with other colleagues. So I don't see any reason why one should not use point-of-care ultrasound in their clinical practice, whether it is in urgent care or in the emergency medicine.
Yeah, like you say, the term adjunct, it's an adjunct to what we do. So just like we might do an x-ray to ask a question, the x-ray might not answer that question for us. So we have to then think, we have to go forwards. If POCUS isn't answering the question because maybe you're not as experienced in that area, or it just isn't the right tool for the job on that day, it's important to obviously defer to your other tools and facilities available to you. So it's not the golden bullet POCUS. It is an adjunct to everything else that we do, rather than this one. It's not one thing to rule them all, but it can be very helpful in a lot of examples. So
Yeah, absolutely.
thank you, Avijit, for talking to us about POCUS. It's good to hear from somebody who uses it and has continued to use it, and to hear your story as you've developed over the years in using it, and how it's just expanding over time. And you're now looking at the cardiac side of things, but you, throughout that time, have just been building your portfolio of things that you utilize it for. And I think that's really interesting to hear, because I think there is concern that it is this big world, and there's so much to do. But to hear that you can kind of piece your way through it and benefit patients and benefit yourself, it's good to hear from that. And so, as always, thank you for talking to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
My thanks to Avijit for talking to the podcast. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or suggestions, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. Now we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.